Welcome to Fairly Critical, the weekly podcast where we discuss movies and beer and just have a great time. I'm Brian Watkins.
And I'm Jamie Lira.
And this week, we're gonna change it up a little bit. We're not going to be talking about a specific new movie, mainly because there wasn't anything new playing this week that I really wanted to see. This upcoming week, though, is the next Hunger Games, which I'm excited for. The wife and I will probably be going to see that. So next week, maybe we'll be talking about that. We'll see. This week, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about remakes.
Reboots. In some cases, right?
Exactly. Specifically, different movies that were classic movies of our younger years that are now in the works to be put into production next year. And I found some different ones online I was surprised about, and Jamie had seen a few, so we are going to get into that.
You know, I'd like to start this off by taking it back to the beginning for me when it comes to reboots and my initial reaction to some of these things. Now, maybe there were some other ones out there, but the one that really struck me the first time out, I believe I was going to see Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I believe it was that film.
Right on.
And I'm sitting in the theater, and the previews roll out for upcoming films. And here is this trailer that I thought was so preposterous for this Batman Begins movie. are you kidding me? Tim Burton made these awesome Batman films that like grossed all kinds of money, became super popular, and were like epic. And even he even kind of incorporated some of that Dark Knight Returns kind of imagery. While it didn't quite go as far,
right?
It was still a different image of Batman that we were necessarily used to, and it was brilliant.
And up to that point, you know, your Batman that you knew, other than the comics, was Adam West,
right?
And Adam West, because I don't think the cartoon had started yet, had it?
No.
So the cartoon wasn't out yet.
Initially, the cartoon used the theme music that Danny Elfman had come up
Correct,
with for the film.
Yes.
It became such an institution. Now, the reason I'm going back this far is to make a really good point and set things up for later, because I just thought, why? Why are they doing another Batman? And it, obviously, by saying it's beginning, Batman Begins, they're going to retell the origin and these things. And I'm thinking, this is just not a good idea. And somewhere in those last couple moments, I saw Christian Bale's name. And that, afterward, then I thought, wait a second. He was so brilliant in American Psycho in showing how he could play a dichotomy of a character.
Yes.
And I thought, that's actually sounds like it could work. And this movie went on to become one of my favorite films ever. It's, and I can watch it over and over and over. And I think it handled the hero origin and also, you know, throwing in some things of a bad guy the best way. It's to me, it's still like one of the pinnacle superhero films for me.
The second one to me was probably the best Batman film I had ever seen, partially because of the Heath Ledger Joker and partially just because of how great it was and the scope of it. I had a little bit different experience. I was super stoked when I saw that trailer, only because I knew they were basing it on the Frank Miller Dark Knight. And I was really excited to kind of see that older, gritty Batman, which in the movie, they didn't really show it exactly. I mean, because in the Frank Miller version, he's old. Like, he's silver-haired.
Well, he becomes old. They show him kind of like...
Yeah, he kind of gets decrepit and, you know, but I mean, he starts old. Like, he's been out of it, and now he's back into it at the beginning of Dark Knight. So I was excited about it, mainly because... To me, with superhero movies, I don't necessarily mind a remake. Only because until Iron Man came out, I don't think I ever saw a superhero movie where I was completely like, yes, that is the movie that, you know, it should have been. I mean, I really liked the first Batman, especially with Michael Keaton. I thought he was amazing. And Jack Nicholson was great.
Oh, yeah.
The second one, which was the one with the Penguin and all that.
And Catwoman.
I enjoyed, but...
Still good.
It was not the same.
Yeah, right. But it was still Tim Burton, at least.
It was still Tim Burton.
And there were some really key moments in that, which were kind of cool.
And then they decided to put nipples on the suits, it went bright colors.
Casting issues.
And
you know, I gotta tell you,
they cast Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
It just became so goofy. They ran with too much of that corny, campy TV Batman stuff, thinking we'd be like, ha ha ha, we get it. And no, it just fell flat. And I think the studios took over.
Yes.
Again, this, and it never took away, this new Batman reboot, if you want to call it, never took away from the Tim Burton ones. They're still awesome to me, and I can equally watch both of them because they're fun. Having said that, Sam Raimi comes along and makes this pretty kick-ass Spider-Man movie, and I liked it the first time I saw it. And I liked it even more after I saw the second movie.
Okay.
Like, I didn't like the first one as much until after I saw the second one.
And then you were like, oh, that movie was a lot better than I thought, because this movie was not so good.
No, I liked them too. No, I liked them both. But what I'm getting to is this, is that, how long was that? It was like 89, was the year, I believe, that Tim Burton came up with the first Batman.
Yes.
And then Batman Begins, it was somewhere in the early 2000s, I can't remember. Now, you're talking about early 2000, 2001, Spider-Man comes out, and then is it like 10 years? I guess it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
But still, 10 years, and there's a reboot of Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man. This movie sucked. I hated it. It was terrible. Oh my God. What did they not get out of the fact that, like, you can reboot something good?
Yeah.
All right. Let me just finish this thought by saying that if Batman Begins hadn't come along and done it well, I don't think we'd have the quality that we had in Iron Man.
No,
and some of these other superhero films. Now I know they're Marvel, but I'm just saying. I think the bar was set high, and somebody on their end at least cared enough to write a decent script. Now, that, unfortunately, throwing in with this Marvel thing is whoever came up with this train wreck of an Amazing Spider-Man film that is filled with the biggest atrocities and contrivances that I've ever seen in a film over something that I really wanted to be good, it included actors that I liked, and it was just terrible.
Now, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that Spider-Man is one of the ones that was not produced by Marvel.
Is that right?
Yes. Marvel...
The Amazing Spider-Man that just recently came out in the last year or two. Whatever.
I'm pretty sure it was not actually produced. Huh. Marvel was involved.
Go figure.
Yeah. They were involved, but they didn't make it themselves. Because they had already optioned those rights with the other one. So I'm pretty sure it was Warner Brothers?
I don't know, because it was Sony originally when Sam Raimi did it. Now let me make a footnote here, an asterisk to myself. I agree that when Spider-Man 3 came around, it was pretty bad. But if you know anything about that, I think from what I understand, Sam Raimi was kind of being pushed around by Sony to do certain things in that, and it ruined it. It ruined it. It could have been so cool. But now they're changing things that happened in the previous films. But I'm still convinced that those two films, those first two Spider-Man movies that he made, had the rubber to the road as far as being, you know, having a longevity that like Tim Burton's Batman did.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whimsy in there, and I think it worked. It didn't, and it got reinvented, but instead of being good, it was terrible. It was god awful, man. It was so bad. Who cares if you're like, oh, this kid's like, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to begin. But anyway, I just wanted to say that because this whole episode of being about remakes, reboots, particularly reboots,
mm-hmm,
can be very dangerous ground, but don't get me wrong. There are ones that I will say, go on record tonight saying that are good as well. So I just want to show that dichotomy of how, you know, I went into it skeptical, but I was convinced otherwise with Batman Begins. So I had some trust in there, and I feel like I was betrayed.
Man, all right, I'm on the Wikipedia right now for Spider-Man just to verify
who the production company was.
Yeah, I want to find out. It was Sony.
It was Sony.
It was Sony, but see, with...
They were on the downfall with Spider-Man 3 anyway, though.
Right.
They were already, you know...
And I just recently listened to a podcast with... Oh, I can't remember his name. It's one of the guys... It's the guy at Marvel who is basically in charge of the movies now. Okay. And he was involved with all of the movies pretty much from the beginning, but just in a supervisory capacity. He didn't really have final say on anything. They were making the movie, and then they would say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? So he was saying at the time that they made the movies, they felt like they were a good movie, but somewhere it just got lost in translation. And, you know, I mean, obviously when they were making it, they didn't think they were making a piece of crap. They thought they were making an okay movie, but then, you know, they got the fun. Basically, the whole Spider-Man thing put a very bad taste in their mouth, which is why they broke from Sony for the rest of their stuff.
Okay.
And funded Iron Man themselves. they actually went out and got money and, you know, sourced it and made Iron Man, which they had complete control over. And they did one of the most amazing things, I think, with that by hiring Robert Downey Jr.,
who
at the time was basically nobody in Hollywood wanted him in a movie.
Yeah, he was damaged goods to a certain degree for a while there.
And it wasn't ever for his acting. It was more for just personal things.
Yep.
And so, you know,
just like what happened to Rob Lowe back in the 80s.
Right. So you have, you know, the director comes in and he's like, no, I want this guy. And they were looking at him like he's crazy. And he pulled him in. And that movie, I don't think it would have worked with anybody else. I think he embodies that role so perfectly that it's just amazing. So
you hit it out of the park with that Iron Man film. I can watch that over and over, man.
All right. Iron Man, not a remake. So now.
Yeah, please don't remake
that. We're gonna break to upcoming.
Yes.
In the new Superman reboot series, we're introducing a new Batman.
Oh, man.
Which will presumably spark more Batman movies and also lead into Justice League, which I'm excited about Justice League. I just want to see all those guys together causing havoc and whatnot. So, what do you think about the new Batman?
You're talking about the one yet to be produced, correct?
Affleck, yes. Ben Affleck, new Batman.
You know what? Man, I'm not a Ben Affleck fan. I thought he was, you know, okay in Mallrats when I first saw him, and I felt like his connection with, you know, with what's his face, Clerks guy,
Kevin Smith.
Yeah, I'm sure all you nerds out there who are like, how could you not know his name? He's awesome. You know what?
He is awesome.
But you know what? I don't geek out that much over him. You know, I did at first, and that was the problem. Is I started realizing he kind of, to me, it seemed like for a good chunk of his time, he had like kind of limited himself. Now, that's not to say that he doesn't make really good films now, and Ben Affleck surprised me. And even when I first, like I said, along the way, I felt like he kind of had somehow inherited some sort of like fame and hadn't really earned anything. And time after time, I started liking different little things about what he'd done. And Daredevil, not one of them, obviously.
See,
I did not.
I'm in the minority. I liked Daredevil.
See, that to me seemed like a geek who was just living out a geek fantasy, being able to play a superhero. I'm like, well, dude, if you're going to be a superhero, why are you going to be that guy? Anyway, don't let me digress too much. Then I saw the trailer for Argo.
Yes.
And I thought, this looks legit, and I like that he's involved, and he's playing this character, and he's directing. And I saw the film, and I loved it. We saw it together. And I thought, man, this guy knocked it out of the park with this. I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. Now, having said that, I do have a newfound like faith in Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Batman is a really lofty thing to trust him with. And it's hard to know. It's hard to know. Okay. And I'm actually more focused on the fact that they're going to make this Batman-Superman thing.
Yes.
Right? Isn't that kind of the introduction?
The next Superman movie is Batman Superman.
Which I believe is destined to fail. And I'll tell you why. Because this Man of Steel film was so bad.
And you know I disagree with you, but go ahead.
No. It was so bad in so many ways for me because if you're going to have Batman Superman, I'm sorry, but Superman needs to be the Boy Scout Truth, Justice, American Way guy, not the, yeah, you know what, I just destroyed this satellite and I don't care, and you know, I kind of want to help humanity, but really all I was doing was just protecting myself, and you know, I'll destroy as much of Metropolis and Smallville as I want. And
now, we don't know.
And I'm just going to murder every bad guy I meet.
Conceivably, in this movie, time could have passed, and you know, it might not pick up right where
you're
left
making some big
time
assumptions
could have
here.
Passed. He may now be. You know, they may have learned their lesson from all the critics of the last one, and you know, maybe he'll be that kinder, gentler, more noble Superman. To me, I loved that Superman movie, and I know that I'm in the minority of my group of friends here because you and both of the Jennies hated on it, but I thought it was great. I got to see Superman. I liked the whole wandering aspect of it, just seeing him kind of learning about the world. I did not enjoy the way that they portrayed Jonathan Kent. I thought that was just, I mean, and it's not Kevin Costner's fault. It was the script's fault.
Oh, no. No. I mean, that's the thing is like the cast was impeccable.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, Jonathan Kent is not a hide your light under a bushel kind of guy. Jonathan Kent is a, you know, do your best to make the world a better place kind of guy. This is not the Star Trek reboot where, you know, it's an alternate timeline.
Yeah, I think Richard Donner nailed it when he's like, look, son, you're not here to score touchdowns.
Right.
But you are here for a reason. And he was helping him try to find what that truly is.
Yeah.
And that, like you said, Jonathan Kent trying to hide his... While I agree, a character study of what a parent of Superman would be.
Yes.
Like if I was a, you know, the dad of this, there would be that part of me that would be like, look, you really need to be careful. But that suppressing kind of thing.
Even to the point of basically committing really suicide. Right.
I mean, you're basically, the underlying image of that is you're saying to denounce what your God-given gifts were, and there's no debating the God element of and Jesus like allegories. In
oh, they
I'm
33
years old. I'm in front of the variegated window in the church,
stained glass window,
you know, and the Garden of the Gethsemane scene. I was like, come on, man! And yet he is not acting like that at all. I mean,
no,
it's almost as if Zack Snyder was trying to say something about Christ more than he was about Superman.
Maybe I
like
don't know
saying
if he's
like
that
you
deep.
Know maybe he didn't want to be your savior, you know? Maybe God doesn't right? love you.
It's like, if you want to be my savior. Terrible. Terrible. But
no, that's good podcasting.
I enjoyed the movie.
Oh,
I liked you know what? I was like, yes. Punch somebody, Superman. Just
oh, yeah,
beat
sure.
the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Do I think Superman probably should have taken him out of the city? Sure.
Yeah, hello.
Do I think if it was going to stay in the city, they should have just showed Zod's not letting him leave, so this is happening, he can't make him get out of there? Sure. But, you know...
You know what? Show him saving some human, some innocent bystanders once in a while in all that huge, long fight scene to show that, hey, look, he actually cares about the people.
Right.
It's not just this personal fight. But it seemed like he just didn't give a crap.
I think the
he's
biggest...
Like, actually, he's like, well, I guess I'll protect you humans because, you know, I grew up among you. But actually, my dad told me to suppress all this stuff. So,
man,
I want to get paid, yo.
So
that's the Superman I saw.
I think the weakest overall, you know, part of that was Lois Lane. And...
I like the honest trailer, the way it describes
yeah.
it, because it puts what I feel into words. If you haven't seen it, watch the honest trailer
honest
for Superman Man of Steel.
On YouTube.
Like, yeah, see a Lois Lane that is a superhero in her own right, because she shows up in wherever
Everywhere.
The plot needs to.
She
leads
just
her
appears.
To. Yeah, like, come.
Like, can she teleport?
They had to justify why she had to be there, and it was so paper thin.
Yeah, and it wasn't her fault.
No.
She did a great
Amy
job.
Adams is awesome.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing, is nobody did a bad job of acting. It was just, the script had a lot
why
of weird
why
holes.
Is it so hard for them to make a good Superman script?
I don't know.
Have you seen those Warner Brothers cartoons?
They should have made Kevin
with
Smith
Superman?
Superman.
They're brilliant.
Yes. Oh, the and yeah,
are you
all
kidding
of those.
Me? They're all awesome.
The what is it? The Justice League Ultimate?
Yep.
Or is that what it is?
No,
Justice League Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Amazing.
And then there's the Black Adam one.
Yes.
With
and
Captain Marvel, brilliant.
And all the Marvel cartoons that they're making too are amazing. I sat down with my son a couple years ago and watched the Thor origin story towards the beginning. They basically took the same story that was in the first Thor movie and condensed it to a half hour. You didn't miss anything. It was amazing. It was
That's
so good.
Really
I mean,
cool.
they just did a great job.
So, I mean,
those.
It's something that these cartoons, it seems like these people who can write cartoons, maybe they feel like they don't have so much on the line.
It could be.
And or there's these people, you know, going, well, you know, for box office ticket, you know, numbers. So, yeah,
or
I mean,
maybe there's just less oversight.
The Man of Steel film to me was a missed opportunity. And the real bummer is that they shot a good chunk of it around where we live.
They did, real close.
And specifically the scene, you know, I can't not think of one of the most, you know, aggravating scenes every day, because I literally drive over that bridge that Clark and his mom hide under while they watch Jonathan Kent get blown away by the tornado.
And you see
that,
those trees.
Yeah, I see those two trees in the background every day. I see right where he died every day, and I'm just reminded about how much I hate that movie.
So, quick side story. That's okay.
That is a reboot,
talking,
though, so it
talking
counts.
Marvel, quick side story. Netflix, who is doing original programming now,
yep,
has gotten the rights to do 4 Marvel series on their show. They are doing Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage. And most of the other people, I don't know about.
Now, for anybody Iron who Fist, doesn't know who these
characters Daredevil, are. I know. The Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, I'm not sure about. But I'm excited. And, you know, it's going to be like, you know, younger cast.
Can
and
you
stuff,
shed
I
some
think.
Light on it? Does what you're looking at, does it tell us who these people are? Or
not really. Are I mean, there's hyperlinks I could click on. I think.
So those of you out there who already do know,
yeah,
then
sorry.
You can be like, yay, awesome. Us. Or you can be like, dude, we knew that. Where have you been?
Sorry.
That's okay. That's all right.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah.
Did you try it?
It's tasty, man.
Dude, this is so good.
Yeah.
It tastes like candy. I don't even know.
It is good.
Yeah.
It's got a nice hoppy flavor. You know, it's kind of like what I liked about those Milwaukee beers.
Yeah, I was going to get some MKE, but they didn't have any. I went to
Jewel.
Prisco's.
Oh, okay.
They have a really good selection, but they don't put any of the good microbrew stuff in the fridge. You can
I know,
that
you have to,
you
like,
know.
Buy that warm, unfortunately.
Right. So, anyway, so I got one. I did your trick from last week, wrapped it in the towel, and put it in there. So, it's only been, they've been chilling since five, a little less than an hour. Got nice and cold.
Yeah. I think that's making it, right, to be honest. It's kind of got that, like, that frosty mug it thing does, happening on. You know, like the bottle, it's chilled itself, so.
Yes.
You got to dig that. It's like a better, the better breweries have them, like, sitting in ice at the bar, and I love getting a beer from, like, out of the ice.
Oh. That's the best thing about a backyard barbecue.
Yeah, right?
You get, like, the big ice chest, the ice bucket full of beers. My mom does that. It's so good.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and talk about this beer that we're drinking this
week. Okay.
So this comes to us from Anderson Valley Brewing Company, which is actually, I was surprised by this, in San Francisco.
Ah.
A San Franciscan beer.
And that was bought at a local market down the
it
street.
It was, called Prisco's. Fine Family Foods, you know, local. Shop local, live local, you know, think global.
you folks listening at home were unfortunately spared the look that he gave, which was excellent. Maybe we could link that on our webpage so you can see the gesture he made when he said that.
But it's a Boont Amber Ale.
Boont.
And
it's a Boont.
I'm going to put a picture of this on the blog. Because on this box, there are grizzly bears with antlers.
Dude, that's like double manhood right there.
Yes, it is. And I got this just because I had to disprove the hype on this box. Because up at the top, it says,
story you're telling me.
Yeah, so I'm looking at all the beers, and I'm like, this one looks like it's a little full of itself. I need to figure out if it's this good. So at the top, it says, one of the world's 10 best breweries. I'm like, right there. I don't know if I believe that.
That's a pretty big boast, right?
You know,
there.
But we're gonna see. So then it's got a big seal here, gold medal winner.
Mm.
I'm like, it won gold medals, I don't know what for. And then here, the legendary Boonville beer. I'm like, now
still
it's legendary.
Again, yeah.
And then at the bottom, underneath, Anderson Valley Brewing Company, consistently judged one of the world's finest breweries, and they got a little map of how you can find them in Boonville.
It's interesting because that's what you folks listening are not seeing is that he's looking at what's the bottom of the six-pack box.
Yes, you know, it's probably the things
so
you
they
don't
use every possible surface of this cartoning to boast about themselves.
Now, let me tell you, I took one drink of this, and I say that this hype is warranted.
You know, I have to agree with you, man. You picked a winner, man.
It is fantastic.
And you got to wonder if it isn't a big joke, but oh my gosh,
it's so good.
They got it right.
So I'm going to,
Boonville beer.
I like this so much, I'm going to shout out their website. It's www.avbc.com. So go find them at your local store and get some, because it's crazy.
Who'd have thought, you know? The Rice-A-Roni people would have good beer. As long as they didn't put rice in it and doesn't give me a headache.
I think this is the San Francisco treat.
Right? That's ding, ding. Awesome.
So
and I know that we'd talked about some other things that you had wanted to bring up tonight as well.
Yeah, as just in general remake things remakes happening.
What? Let's talk about this.
Okay,
I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you
lay
off.
Lay it on me.
All right, so when I saw your list of the things we want to talk about as far as remakes, it is interesting. There are some like very, you know, for me, unfortunately, because of, you know, I'm 43 and, you know, a lot of my, like teen, preteen youth came, you know, in the 80s where things were really kind of cool and wild and over the top.
Yes.
These are the things that we're seeing being remade.
So, yeah.
The trend now appears to be for those of you who are, you know, born in 1970, between 1970 and 1980, is you can identify with this, is that they're taking our favorite movies from our childhood that were like original cool classics in their own right, and they're remaking them. You know, i.e., you know, they've already started. You know, we've already got our remake of Karate Kid,
right,
and our remake of Red Dawn,
right, which I didn't see yet. I have not seen the Red Dawn,
but I'll tell you, I do know this, that neither one of them really is close enough to the other, because, like, Karate Kid, it's Kung Fu, I think, in the new one.
It is.
It's not really karate. And then, obviously, Red Dawn is not about the Soviets, because the Cold War is way over.
Yeah.
Either, I don't know about the Red Dawn. All I know is that we get some Chris Hemsworth happening in there. So, there's, like, a difference between, they had to change things because of the time passing and things are changed.
Right.
I don't know about Red Dawn, but I was really pleasantly surprised by Karate Kid. I could not believe that I liked it as much as I did. I really liked what Will Smith's kid,
Jaden,
could do acting wise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could see that he's kind of like acting like dad a little bit, but his chemistry in that, and also the way they change. I can get over the fact that it's Kung Fu, not karate,
right?
Because the story I felt had a really good progression, and it had more. While the things that Pat Morita made Ralph Macchio do in the original Karate Kid,
right,
were like more skill based and physical,
mm-hmm.
As far as learning karate without knowing it, basically, yes. There was a certain moral lesson that Jackie yes. Chan's character was teaching to Jaden Smith's character in the new Karate Kid. So, like, when he was having to hang up his coat,
yes.
there was something that was about respect involved. And exactly. I really enjoyed that.
Which is, that's a big part of any martial art, is learning, you know, respect, learning discipline. Right. And for those of you who haven't seen the movie, I recommend you see it. It was good. It's a little long, but yeah. If you're watching it with your kids, they'll get bored a little bit in the middle because it has a little bit of a dry spatch. But, I mean, for an adult, it was great. I would
watch it again easily.
Yeah. At the beginning, Jaden Smith, very kind of bratty, you know, he doesn't do what his mom says. He's always throwing his coat on the floor. So he's getting roughed up by some kids, you know, typical Karate yeah. Kid story. And then he tries to get this guy to train him. And as the guy is training him, he starts by having him put on his coat, take it off, throw it on a hook. Put on his coat, take it off. And he's doing this over and over, you know, in the rain and the stuff. And then the next scene you see, he comes home. And he just throws his coat on the hook without even thinking about it. It's like he's learning, oh, yeah, that's what you do. And his mom turns around and almost falls over.
Right.
Like, whoa, what just happened?
Like, he's actually throwing his coat on the hook instead of putting it on the ground, like, disrespectfully.
Right. But, I mean, they showed a great progression of, you know, the kid learning not only martial arts, but respect and discipline and just becoming a better person, which is really what martial arts, you know, is about. When you're learning them, it's all about, you know, centering yourself and learning to be at one, you know, with yourself and with the world. So, I mean, I thought it was great. Original yeah. Karate Kid, I love it. Oh, but it's really just great. About this kid learning how to kick some other kid's butt so he's not beat up and getting the girl.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your typical 80s, you know, yeah. story. It's a great movie. Oh, I love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Brilliant.
Love the movie. But this had more of a story really about what karate is about, what kung fu is about, you know, and
or just martial arts in general.
Exactly.
And I liked that the whole coat thing
yes.
was a respect thing, but it ended up being a move.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he did was, after he had him take it off the hook, he had him toss it on the floor the way he always did.
Right, and make
and
a then, face.
And yeah, like he had to push down with both hands. Well, that ended up being a block.
Right.
And I thought, okay, so now we got some old karate. So, and the reason I bring that up at all, because it's already in the past, you know.
Yes.
Who knows? They might remake that one now. Is because we have some things coming up, and you had a list. And I wanted to make sure we talked about the list, because we have some pretty savvy listeners out there. Yeah. Hopefully we have listeners. but I wanted to make sure we brought it up because, you know, like I said, we have savvy listeners, yet there's some things that were on this list that I didn't even realize as far as the titles that were being remade. So I wanted to make sure we mentioned those for our listeners so they yes. know where we're coming from.
So the first one that, I mean, I found a website that just had a list of here's like the top 30 that are getting put into production for next year. The first one that jumped out at me and I almost died a little inside.
Oh no.
Flatliners.
And that's one of the ones I was surprised about.
That movie is amazing. I don't know if you've seen it.
I did.
Did you enjoy it?
I've seen it twice. I did enjoy it.
I've seen it about 8 times.
I don't know that I would like go crazy about them remaking it. I don't know why they would have to.
Exactly. That's my point.
So, like, I don't love the movie. I don't think it's, like, super awesome. But to me, that and Kiefer Sutherland and those guys, the supporting cast in that.
Yes.
How do you not, how do you do that better than that?
It was well made.
It's already done. Don't redo this.
It was an all-star cast. You know, you got Kiefer Sutherland, Julia Roberts, okay, other people. There was a Baldwin in there, not one of the good ones.
A Baldwin.
It was Steven. Billy.
People right now are screaming at their at their iPods or whatever. But I mean, right now, going, how could you forget?
It's a cool Emilio. Story, right? Emilio.
Is he in it?
I don't know. It's a cool story. It's a great idea. It was well done.
Yeah.
Why remake it?
Well, right.
There's no point.
This is why I brought up the whole Batman Begins thing, because that is exactly how I felt when I saw that trailer for Batman Begins. I'm like, there's no need. It's already done. And then it became my favorite iteration of the Batman story. But, you know, I could just go on and on. Yeah, we got Kiefer Sutherland, Kevin Bacon, William Baldwin, so you're right about that, and Oliver Platt.
Oh, I love Oliver Platt.
The dude just is so diverse. He can do it all.
Oh, I loved him in Three Musketeers.
Oh, man. He can do it all. He can do humor. He can do serious. He's good.
All right. I'm going to jump this next one up on the list just because I feel like the tone of it really ties into the tone of Flatliners and the why would you remake this.
Okay.
Stephen King's It.
Mm-hmm.
They made the miniseries. Right. Okay. Amazing miniseries. Tim Curry... probably one of my favorite things that I've ever seen him in. All good actors, both young and old. And it was just great. Yeah. They did it as a miniseries, which is how I think they should do most Stephen King things.
Well, yeah, something like an epic novel like that. Like The Stand had to be the miniseries that it was. You couldn't have done all the stuff. And they still left out stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but
they left out some of the stuff of like kids being molested, which was good.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Glad they left that part. But I mean, it's great. I mean, I could concede that it could use updating if that's all they were doing. You know what I mean?
You got to wonder what's going through these producers' minds. Like somebody saying, "You know what, rather than actually coming up with something new and original and making a new classic, let's just find whatever we can to remake." That's what this list so far is saying to me, like Flatliners and It. Like, it's not to say, like you said, just said, that it couldn't use some updating. But isn't there something else out there that could be done?
It's like,
is this the downfall of our creativity? I mean, what's going on, man?
Who sits down and watches Stephen King's It and is like, you know, I could do that better. I don't think you can. You could remake it. You could update it. It would do well, I think. People would go see it. If they could pay enough money to get Tim Curry back in it, maybe it would be okay. But my point is, why bother? It doesn't need to be done. The original was so good. It just doesn't need to be done.
Right.
All right. Next thing I put on there I only put this one on because when I was a kid, this was one of my favorites. We had it. It was on like Disney Channel when we had free cable in one of our apartments, and I taped it and watched it over and over and over and over and over. Flight of the Navigator. Okay, you've seen it?
You know what? I got to tell you. It's funny, but I've never seen that movie. And it was one of those things that escaped my childhood. Like, I reached that age where...
We're going to watch it.
And I've got to see it. I've seen, you know, so many, like, what do you want to say? Traditional images of that I still have burned in my memory because of it. But I never actually watched the film. And it was partially because I was kind of going through that kind of character overload with Neverending Story and Daryl.
Sure.
And I wonder if that was the same
actor.
It's
in the same vein. It's not the same actor. It's a different kid, I think.
I just know that there's that really weird like eyeball thing.
It might be the Neverending Story kid. Was that the same kid? No, it's not. It's a different kid, but he looks similar. Sarah Jessica Parker is in like a small part before anybody really knew who she was. The movie is just fun. You have this kid...
How do I know? Wait, I'm looking just so you guys know, I'm looking at this on IMDb right now, and I'm wondering, why the heck did I not see this?
Okay.
Because there is, like, some NASA references in here.
Yes.
And for anybody who doesn't know me, which is maybe most of you, I'm a freak geek for the space program in NASA. I had no idea. So, yeah.
Let me break down the basics. Oh, I'm not going to spoil it for you, Jamie, because you need to see it.
Oh, good. So don't spoil anything.
You have this kid. He has a younger brother. He's, I think, 12. And his younger brother is like 6 or 7. It's 4th of July. They go and they're playing around and they go out into the woods and something happens and the brother and the dog run home. You see the boy wake up the next morning alone. He's in a ditch in the woods. What? Right? He climbs out of the ditch, goes home, knocks on his front door. The guy who answers the door, not his dad. He has no idea who they are. And so they call the police. Turns out he's been missing for 15 years and he has not aged a day and he doesn't remember anything.
I thought you said you weren't going to ruin this for me.
No, this is the first 10 minutes of the movie. This is the first 10 minutes of the movie.
I don't know. That's a big setup though, man.
It just goes from there, and you start to figure out what happened. You find out there's this crazy story. So you got to watch it. I have it. We'll watch it with the kids because kids would love it.
There's nothing too scary for
the
kids?
Okay. No, no. It's actually really funny. Like, there's a couple of kind of scary, sad parts at the beginning, and then the whole rest of the movie, hysterical.
Is it as good as Mac and Me?
It's way better than Mac and Me. Okay.
Total E.T. ripoff.
Yeah. Which, I'm not going to lie, when I was like 8, I liked that movie. I thought it was
hilarious. You know what? I actually watched it once, and I was like, this isn't that bad.
But no, I watched it with Jacob.
It was such a horrible McDonald's plug.
I could not believe how bad it was, and Jacob loved it. But, you know, he's 6.
Well, yeah. So, it's meant to be cute.
Yeah. So, anyway, yes. Flight of the Navigator does not need to be remade. Done.
Okay, I'm going to take your word for it.
Yes. Based on what you've told me. We're going to watch it, and you're going
to
love it.
I mean, and that brings us to, aren't they making Neverending Story again?
They are.
And that's...
Well, I don't think it's been rumored. I don't think it's actually in production. Okay, so it's not in production. But they keep kicking it around, and that's another one where it's just like, come on. The reason that movie is great is because of... the era that it was done in.
Yeah.
It has that feel and that kind of, you know, whimsical sensibility that they had in like the mid 80s. And to do it now, it's either going to be cheesy or they're going to change it up and it was cheesy to start with, but it's just going to feel cheesy, right, as opposed to feeling like a nostalgic sort of a fun.
Right.
Or they're going to go the other way and make it super serious. And who wants to watch that?
That's their problem. I think that's where I'm starting to think this is that they're taking the things that were high properties that had our popularity. And unfortunately, even to the layman, they can look and go, well, of course you're going to remake something that was like awesome.
Right.
Because you're riding on the coattails of its popularity. Now you want to take something that was like still cool, in my opinion, but has that parts of it that kind of like are like, like it's hard to watch. One of those movies to me that in the era, Crawl. Love that movie. Yes. Love the glaive. Some of the atmosphere in that film, awesome stuff. But there are some fallacies in it that make it kind of hard to watch, and it's hard to like get somebody to want to watch that because it's like it's so cheesy. And so that, and I thought I heard they were going to remake it. Mm-hmm. If they did that and did that right, I mean, if I was a director, I would want to remake Crawl.
Yeah, that
it was cool. What a cool concept to me.
That's one of those movies that could stand to be Lucasfied, you know. Go in, redo the scenery and
but although that there's like the scene with the big spider.
Yeah.
That to me is like still compels me. I love the scene. Some of that special effects in that film, awesome.
The scene with some of the special effects in that film,
not so good.
The scene with the spider compels you.
Yes, exactly. Like, from fire I take water. From water I take fire. Oh gosh, man. Yeah, there's some bad parts. Like I'm like, oh Jenny, you gotta see this is a classic from my childhood, and we watch it and we get to that part. She's like, seriously, dude? I'm like, I don't remember it being this bad. Sorry.
Just don't appreciate but nice the glaive things.
Owns. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Pointed star with blades on the end of it. Come on. All right. So next on your list, you had Logan's Run. I'm just going to run down a few here.
Yeah, do it.
So we got Escape from New York.
Which they already did Escape from L.A.
Yeah. It was like, okay. Why would you need to do New York again?
Right. Escape from L.A. was okay. Do Escape from
Chicago, dude. Because I'm telling you, you but either got to go by water or head out to the boonies.
My point is.
Yeah, come through us.
They tried to remake it as a sequel and it wasn't great.
That was movie, it still Snake Plissken?
It was still Snake Plissken.
Like, how would he end up in that situation again? It was still Kurt
Russell.
Boo.
They brought him back in. It was a thing where he was basically bribed and then sent into the prison. They injected him with something that if he didn't go do it, he would die. And so then he had to go in there because the antidote was on the inside.
Okay, perfect. Because you know what? It's almost as if like they injected the audience then too. Like they injected us. Like you better go see this. See, I don't like that kind of pressure, man. You're like, you are going to like this.
Right.
Garbage. All right. Gremlins?
Gremlins.
Oh, man. Another great classic. You know, Phoebe Cates, you got some... What a great movie that, like, messed around with sci-fi, horror, humor.
Yeah.
And dark humor.
I'm about this close to letting Jacob watch it. I have to rewatch it just to make sure.
Because it's a great Christmas film. It's set around Christmas.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, he's about ready. Violet, no. But Jacob is right. The problem with it is that
Gizmo is so doggone cute. But those horrible aliens are so bad and it's so treacherous.
The thing is when you go back and watch it, they aren't scary.
No, I know, but I remember. See, that's the thing is I remember what I felt like when I was like Lena's age.
It's not Ghoulies. Ghoulies was
meant to be stupid and gross.
But I mean, Gremlins, great movie. Why bother remaking it?
Right.
Logan's
Run. Now I'm up for that.
Okay.
I'll go on record as saying I'm up for that. Now, while my wife and I both have a real special place in our heart for Logan's Run because of what it was and because it really kind of, you know, went out there. It's kind of a classic in the sci-fi era of things. There's some pacing issues with that film. And, it could really use an update, I think.
Now, I would wager, or I would go out and say, that they already did remake Logan's Run more or less.
Oh, you mean like something else?
Did you see The Island?
I couldn't stop thinking of Logan's Run when I watched The Island.
Exactly!
However, there's some distinct differences there. I mean, there are lies being told.
It's not a remake. But
The Island is more of like modern, like our modern day.
Right.
Whereas Logan's Run is definitely set in the future.
Right. But it's so close to the story of Logan's Run that I would call it the Logan's Run remake.
But I liked The Island.
It was great.
I enjoyed that. I had no idea that's where it was going. Although let me say this though. I knew that it was because I'd seen Logan's Run, I kind of figured that there was something going on. That
right.
He was being lied to. Yes. And it was lottery. I mean, come on, forget about it. I'm a conspiracy theorist by heart anyway, but I did not foresee like the it was going to be shifted into like fifth gear with the action scenes that were excellent.
Because
it didn't seem like it needed that. Everything else was pretty solid up to that point. And Ewan McGregor, in my
always
opinion,
great.
Oh, brilliant.
ScarJo.
Oh my gosh.
Always great.
Not just, you know, not hard to look at, first of all.
Definitely
but,
not.
But she's got skill.
Yeah,
she's got skills, man.
So you to quote a ScarJo skit from Saturday Night Live, you gotta see The Island. SNL is the chandelier one. She's like, you gotta get a chandelier. It's a commercial one they do. It's great. Go watch it. YouTube.
Okay,
you'll love it.
All right. Anyway. Next on your list, Vacation. This is National Lampoon's Vacation.
National Lampoon's Vacation.
I'm sorry. You can just stop right there. You don't remake something like that. That was so period, first of all, for production of that type. They don't make that kind of stuff anymore,
they
man.
They don't. And the thing is, they're so serious about
this
movie.
There's no taboo anymore. Everything is on the table nowadays.
They're so far into this remake, they already have Ed Helms attached to it.
And you mentioned that to me earlier, I don't even know what you mean, Ed Helms. What was that?
Ed Helms. He was in The Office. He's also in The Hangover. He's the guy that loses his tooth in The Hangover.
Oh, that kind of crazy guy.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, man. Chevy Chase was at the top of his game in that film. I mean, what that means little, because, I mean, fortunately, he kind of had a short reign being the top of his game. Like, he was great in Saturday Night Live. That was where he was owning all over the place. But then his movie career was short-lived. Uh-huh. But Clark W. Griswold, the character he portrayed and he created, basically spawned a lot of characters and films from then on in funny films, because that one broke the mold. National Lampoon as a company, as a publication, whatever they did, they put their name on it. That alone carried a lot with it.
Right.
And they went straight into taboo and like messed around with things. It was like reading a Mad magazine, but watching it unfold on screen. And they really kind of jumped out there and did it. And I think I always liked the fact that it kind of had that their name on it ahead of time, because it kind of designated it as being something that was out there. But then it became popular to make any kind of crazy movie like that. And then there was no designation between the two. You know what I mean? Like, you could just, like, have, like, your grandma, the grandma dying in some way, and it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
And, like, no, it doesn't always work. But in Vacation, it worked. And I'm sorry, you can't recreate that magic. Because you know what? That movie still stands up.
Well, you know what? They did recreate that magic. And you know what it was called? It was called Christmas Vacation.
And even that only kind of held up a bit.
Can't even see the line.
It was fun. I liked that movie. It was funny. Yeah. There were some great lines and some great characters added to the story in that one, but we won't get into that. But to remake it?
Do the blessing! I love William Hickey.
Oh, that guy's crazy.
Everything's so good, William Hickey.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's dead now. It's sad.
And I was surprised, you know, afterwards, I think Beverly D'Angelo, to see her still around doing things. But that was the thing about Vacation, was like, you know, I think it was one of the first times I saw boobies in a movie. So that and Stripes.
Yeah, Stripes.
Yeah.
Yes, William Hickey is dead. He died in 97.
Aww.
Long time ago now.
Great old man.
He was.
Point Break?
Point Break. So here's the thing with Point Break,
maybe that could get redone.
Okay. They could remake Point Break, and it would probably be a fine movie. My point is, I enjoyed the movie in the first place, but not enough to be like, this movie needs a remake.
I fell asleep
during that movie. It's so good.
I'm sorry.
The story is so good that they should make another one.
Yeah.
No, it's just a meh story. You know what I mean? There's some surfing. There's some skydiving.
I felt like it was like a vehicle for Keanu.
Yeah, they were trying to.
But then it didn't really actually work.
No, but Patrick Swayze was great in the movie.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, overall, it was a fine movie.
I just couldn't buy each of them as their respective characters.
The story to me does not warrant a remake.
Unless they get it right, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't.
Could that go on to be my next
I'd rather just again? Watch Heat again.
Oh, Heat. Don't remake that ever. That movie's brilliant.
It is.
Oh my gosh, what a great film. Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers.
I haven't actually seen this movie in many, many years, and I just
did see it.
Yeah, you were worried. For those of you listening, he was like about ready to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
He was like about to drop a deuce right on his chair. You're like, good, you did not. So, all right, no, I did see this movie. Yeah.
Jenny, I'm coming. Yeah.
No, what a great film, because like while I appreciated the crazy action the first time through, the second time through, I got the sarcasm and the kind of like,
the
almost
sarcasm.
Like it was actually kind of making fun of the fact that its main characters were these overly pretty,
right?
You know,
the propaganda films.
It like turned itself on itself. It took films that were being made like it and imploded them.
It was just so good.
Oh.
It's one of those, and it's corny and on purpose.
Right.
The effects are just okay, and in my opinion, on purpose, because they made it almost like a serial. You know what I mean? It had that really goofy, campy feel, and they throw up those PSAs.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, like, the war effort against the bugs. it's so good.
Yeah.
And why?
Yeah,
it's got the NPH in it.
Yeah, you could go back and watch that.
Casper Van Dien, who you know went on to...
That's another good reason why they shouldn't redo it, because I believe it was a product of its time. It was saying something about the films that were being made at the time that it was being made. So, I don't know, maybe it'll work, but I just like the original just fine.
Yes.
And then the last two ones you have here are both begin with W.
They do.
And are both from the 80s, late 80s, War Games and Weird Science.
So, War Games. They already made a sequel, and it was just okay. It wasn't great, but it was a sequel. War Games. Why would you remake it?
I don't know.
Why?
I just showed that to my daughter, and you know what? There's some things that I've shown my daughter from the 80s that she's like, eh. Going back to Karate Kid, the Ralph Macchio one, at the end of that movie, with the way that it crescendos and ends with him doing that awesome kick and everything, it had the desired effect on Lena. And at the end of when the credits rolled, she looked at me and she said with all seriousness, and she's pretty discerning for those of you who don't know her, she said, Dad, that is the best movie I have ever seen.
It's so good.
She loved it. It really had the desired effect. Now, having said that, War Games was really pleasantly surprised when I sat down and watched that with her.
Mm-hmm.
Again, she's 9 now. She was probably 8 or 7 when she saw it. And as I'm watching it with her, I'm like, this kind of still holds up, man.
It's
like,
so
I really enjoyed everything that led up to the end, and when I always want to say C. Thomas Howell, but he's not C. Thomas Howell.
Come on.
Who is he? Dude. I can't remember his doggone name. All those guys had the same name back then. It's C. Ferris Patrick Bueller. Swayze, you know, Robert Downey, Macchio.
It was Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller. Yeah, what's his name? No, Matthew Broderick.
Now I can't remember.
Matthew Broderick, who, unfortunately, you know, some people think he's not that great of an actor. I thought he was great in that.
I love Matthew Broderick.
That last moment when he's coming down and he's like, it's not a game. He doesn't know it's a game. Awesome. Awesome build up for that. When he comes flying into that ready room and it's at DEF CON 5 or whatever. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Like you said, you can't, I mean, what, all right. Let me give you
this. The movie is magic in a bottle.
You being an IT guy would definitely understand. It's like, dude is using a freaking phone modem.
Yes.
And he is like throwing in this floppy disk into his Commodore that's like literally the size of an LP.
And you get
ka-chunk.
You get the
Wow, that's cool and all for us retro.
I weigh about a nice game.
All right, so we're gonna chess. I'm gonna
greetings,
I want to take this moment for Brian to make the noises he just made without me saying anything. So for those of you out there who want to save it as like their ringtone or their text message, all right, go ahead.
So we had the
boop,
and greetings, Professor Falcon. How about a nice game of chess?
Excellent. And then, oh, so good. So good. I mean, I love that stuff. That works.
Whopper.
That so works for me. Yeah,
it's
the
Whopper. It's great. The movie holds up. It has great actors.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing story. Why remake it? Yeah. There is no purpose to remaking that movie other than, hey, we can make some money off this.
Again, period, along with Red Dawn.
I know.
You have it's still Cold War kind of is in our recent rearview mirror. So that was relevant. You know, global thermonuclear war, that was something that was like, people were like,
it
no,
was
dude.
Eminent.
Yeah, we were like, I don't know about eminent, but it was certainly a concern because, you know, we were already kind of making fun of the duck and cover things from the, you know, the 60s and 70s that we all learned. But it still wasn't quite completely out of our consciousness. People were like, no, man, we got to be careful about this stuff. And we were raising awareness. That's what brought it up. It wasn't anything other than that. And I don't know. Well, that's a timeless message. You know, just re-release that movie. You know, they need to start just like throwing old films into the theaters so we can go. It's like, don't remake them. Just redistribute them.
I would love it if they started showing old movies.
Are you kidding me?
That'd be so good.
Think about
whenever I catch one, like at Hollywood Palms, or a lot of times they'll show older movies at Studio Movie Grill in Wheaton.
Okay.
I love it. Go to the, you know, see, I missed it. They were only showing it one day around Halloween, and I was busy that night, so I couldn't go. They were showing Ghostbusters at the Dirt Theater, and I was going to take Jacob. I'm like, that would have been amazing.
Are you kidding me? That would have been fantastic.
Yes.
What a great... Has he seen it yet?
Yeah, we saw it. We just watched it the other day, and he loved it.
Was it his first time?
Yeah. Dude, he was riveted.
Yeah, Lena loved it.
He was riveted. Violet fell asleep, which
she
is fine. She
didn't watch the opening bit with the librarian coming out of her skin and the ghost.
You know, no, I covered her eyes.
Yeah. Oh, I meant like with
Lena
Jacob?
Didn't? Yeah, Jacob, he didn't care.
See, now Lena, I didn't show her that because I thought it'd be just too much, but she loved the movie. She got all the humor. She got it.
Like, I showed
she was
them.
Into it.
I showed them Neverending Story. And at the time, they were 3 and 5.
Okay.
Now, when I saw Neverending Story, I was 5 or 6. And the Gamork scared me so badly that I was hiding under the seat in the theater. Okay?
Okay. That's not good.
I watched that with them, and they're around. You know, Jacob's around the same
You're
age
not in
I
dark
was.
Theater, though.
Violet is 3. Still, we're watching it. And I'm like, now, this might be scary. My 3-year-old looks at it and goes, Daddy, that's just a talking wolf.
Well, like, there you go.
Well, then. So anyway, we're watching Ghostbusters. The pinnacle for watching it with Jacob for me is we get to the end and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man comes out and he goes, ah, it's a giant marshmallow man and he's dressed like a sailor. Like, that's amazing. Speaking of which, they're doing another Ghostbusters. Although, at least it's a sequel. It's not a remake. So
no,
that's
right.
Good.
Right.
And Harold Ramis is attached, so that's good.
Yep.
And they're doing it. I think it's going to be like their kids. But last I heard, I think it's... I always want to call him Seth because that was his name in...
in Austin Powers?
No. From Superbad. It's...
Oh.
My brain.
I know
is
who
gone
you're talking
today.
About, and I
but
can't remember his name.
It's him and Stonebone.
He's the unfortunate like group of those dudes who didn't come out of that out of Superbad yeah. with like so, some renown.
But I love it's Jonah Hill, and I okay. love Jonah Hill.
Oh,
so,
I'm sorry. Then it's not.
Oh, you were thinking. You were thinking
of the Red Mist.
No, 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 not him. No,
I don't know that guy's name.
He's got a weird name too. But no, all right. So, from what I heard, the last thing is Jonah Hill and Emma Stone are attached to play two of the kids oh, okay. of the people.
Now, Emma Stone is...
Emma Stone, did you see Superbad? She's the girl with red hair in Superbad. She was also in... She was Mary Jane Watson in the remake, in the Amazing Spider-Man.
So, yeah, I've suppressed that, so yeah, yeah I don't but, remember.
But if you want to watch a fun movie with her, Easy A is great.
Okay.
Anyway... So, movies don't need to get remade. And then the last one I had was Weird Science.
Yeah, you know, again, you're talking about John Hughes. Now, not one of his stronger films, but great memorable moments, particularly yes. Bill Paxton in that movie. Oh my gosh. One of the great... Like, how about a nice greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray? He's like, looks good. You make yourself one. That scene, one of the best scenes. He just slaps the egg up on the ceiling and catches it back in the pan. I mean, oh my gosh, I love that movie. It's so funny.
It's great. You got Anthony Michael Hall. I mean, it's just so good.
And you get Iron Man.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, great movie, great cast. 80s fabulous.
Oh, totally 80s fabulous.
Does not need to be remade. Mm-mm. Just like Pump Up the Volume, doesn't need to be remade. Nobody's trying to, but still.
Don't say that too loud. Somebody out there, some producers listening it. To this going, awesome, I'm doing this, and I have all kinds of money.
Smithers, make a note. All right. So.
On the whole, to wrap things up.
Well, I wanted.
I'm not a fan. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. So not to wrap things.
That's all right. I was going to throw in one more hypothetical to you that we didn't discuss ahead of time. So, are there any movies that you can think of that you would like to see remade? Is there something that you loved the story so much, but the movie just fell flat?
Wow, that's a really good question. Because it's hard to think of it in terms that way. And let me put it this way: if you liked something,
yes.
You probably don't want it to be remade because you like the movie. Now, unless having said
like,
that...
Unless you liked the book and the movie was terrible.
Ah.
I mean, there's that option. I'm just saying.
No, so right.
So throw out
that.
There...
But let me say this. Yes. How many of the movies that we just talked about were actually based on... Were adaptations from books? Maybe they were, but they weren't like popular books.
Right.
If that... No, most of them were original screenplays.
Yes.
And rather than coming up with... an original screenplay, they're going to create something rip off, you know, I don't know. So having said that, wow.
It's a stumper. I'm sorry.
No.
I should have texted you about it earlier.
Yeah, I could have given it some thought, but you know what? No, let's do it this way. I'll be the voice of our listeners because I think this requires some, this is actually a worthwhile question.
Okay.
This is a really good one because you think about that. There might've been something that you just didn't rub you the right way mm-hmm. and you thought would be good. But didn't quite pull off. You know what? I wouldn't mind seeing a remake of Virtuosity.
Yes.
With the first thing I ever saw Russell Crowe in.
Russell Crowe and
Denzel Washington.
Denzel. Now, it's a great movie.
Yeah, I like that movie. There are some pacing issues in there and some, but you know what? The overall gist of it all, I think they were ahead of their time.
Yes.
And that kind of dark, real dark angle on it because there was a certain amount of like, whimsy in there, the fact that they were messing around with this, it was almost as if it's like Tron, but more of mm-hmm. more realized.
It was kind of like Tron and Lawnmower Man mixed together
yeah.
with a really good cop story.
Yeah, so that I couldn't have said it any better. But I wouldn't mind seeing that remade because yeah. I think you could really, you know, play with that. And now with virtual reality actually being a little bit more closer to what, you know, they were trying to go for
right,
in that.
Right, because the virtual reality was pretty cheesy. In them. I mean, they did it almost like Cool World.
I still like Polygon virtual yes. reality. To me, like shows that you're in the video world. So I liked that he had kind of like that artificial looking skin and things like that.
Did you ever go to the place in Chicago where they had like the, you step into the ring and they have the VR goggles and the gun?
I have not.
Oh, if it's still there, we're going to go.
Okay.
I don't know if it's still there. I mean, I went when I was in high school. But I'll look. If it's still there, we got to go. Because it was so much fun. So I can
come up with one. Virtuosity.
Okay. And I had this whole time to think about it.
Good question, man.
I know. I came up with it just now. I was thinking.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like...
let's see. I mean... All right. One movie that I think... And it would take some reimagining. But I like the general idea of it until they get to the end and it's ridiculous. Johnny Mnemonic.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about Johnny Mnemonic when I was talking about Virtuosity because there's a certain amount of
there is. There's similarity some, there. There's similarity. But I mean, it has a cool premise. I mean, you get some Matrix-y sort of stuff, oh, yeah. You know, with Jack and stuff.
Again, they were ahead of their time. They didn't quite know where...
And virtual reality in that too, where he gets the cool glasses and the gloves to do the internet, you know, like, not a thing yet. But that movie, you know, you cut out the goofy talking dolphin at the end. I mean, cause really it went from being a cool movie to being like a environmentalist sort of a propaganda thing. But I think with some reimagining, that could be an amazing movie.
That's a good one.
Yeah. All right.
So I mean, put that out to the listeners. If you guys are willing to, I don't know, how do they respond to us? Can they tweet or
they can tweet us. You can tweet us at Fairly Critical on Twitter or at One Foot Over if you want to just send it to the main group. You can also send us an email to Brian at One Foot Over or Jamie at One Foot Over.
That's Jamie.
Right. By the way. Or you can just hit up our website, which is onefootover.com. You can go to the podcast section. And leave a comment for us.
We'd like to see it. We'd love to know. And maybe we'll bring it back up. Well, if we get enough, we'll reiterate those next week for everybody so they can hear. Because I think it's worthwhile talking there.
Definitely. All right. Well, is that all you got?
Yeah. I just wanted to sum up and say that, you know, on the whole, Preparation H does feel good on the whole. No, I couldn't help but think about that. No, that was a line from one of the Austin Powers films. No, on the whole, the remake thing, in general, just isn't that good of an idea.
I think that's
easy to say now because everybody's saying that. But you know what? Let's just do that. I mean, it shouldn't be so much of that going on.
There's so much interesting and creative content getting put on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Getting produced for small channels and different things. I'd like to see some of that actually get studio backing. You know, there's a lot of content creators, a lot of original story writers out there. And I don't think we're, as a society, we have a lack of original thought. I mean, there is some, but you know, there's still thinkers out there.
I got to say, this is the thing is I try to figure out why the studios want to do this so doggone much because it's become so obvious that this is the trend.
Sure.
And I'm trying to figure it out. And the thing is, what I think of originally is, okay, well, what else is there? Well, what else is there? The stuff that like that is out there to like, you know, just feed the masses and give them their eye candy.
Right.
And something that's not even that engaging that they could still sit there and enjoy while they text these young people. So what's that leave? Well, then they're like going, oh, well, all we need to do is placate these 30-somethings and over. with like some nostalgia,
sure.
And then we'll just dumb them down and, you know, and like get them to shut up. No, damn it, we're still discerning.
I want some
original stuff here. And not only that, but I feel like you're robbing some of the more discerning minds of our younger generation. They're not going to have the new classics to come out with. That you are robbing them of that. We wouldn't have what we have right now. You wouldn't have us wanting or like appreciating any kind of a remake if we didn't have something to refer to in the beginning.
Right.
So you have to have something to start with. You're robbing these younger people of something original by just giving them this like kind of junk food movies. Give them something that's, you know, worthwhile and
right.
You know, it's just you know, there's a problem with
a great example, Nickelodeon's Avatar and Legend of Korra.
Yep.
I mean, it's a TV show, not a movie. It might as well be a movie if you pasted them all together into a long story
because
it's amazing writing. It's witty, it's good enough for an adult to watch, and engaging enough that my three-year-old likes it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's people out there that...
It can be done.
...that can do it.
It can be done.
It's just the studios just need to get their heads out of their asses and start, you know, realizing that there's stuff out there to be made.
Yeah. Right.
It
doesn't work out on paper always. Sorry, guys.
So... I think that's all we got for this week.
Yep.
It was an interesting one. If you liked it, like I said, hit us up on Twitter or on our website. Send us an email. Let us know that you are enjoying what's going on here. For Fairly Critical, I'm Brian Watkins.
And I'm Jamie Lira.
Have a great week.